All right, brother, man, it's all you.
Log Talk Radio.
The Funk Soul Brother. Check it out now.
Gentlemen, to another fantastic episode of the CNC Football Factory. I'm your host, Carlos Sardinius, joined by my co-host, CJ the Painkiller DeSimone, and we're here to talk some New York Jets football as we approach Week 6, Jets versus Redskins. The Redskins are looking like a MASH unit right now if you look at that injury report, CJ. How are you doing, brother?
I am doing good, man, doing good. Good to be here talking some Jets football. We are rocking and rolling on a Saturday. Beautiful day out. Jets skins tomorrow. What more could you ask for?
Probably some more money. That would be good.
Yeah, well, that's
you know, could use some of that. But yeah, you're right. It's a beautiful day out. It's a great weekend. College football going on right now. The UCF hasn't lost yet today, so I'm still in a decent mood because they don't play till 7:30. Get a hold of me around 9:30, and I will not be in as good a mood because they're going to lose again somehow to Temple. Going on 0-6 now. I want to mention real quickly, earlier this week, actually last Sunday is when I recorded it, I joined our good friend Ian Sweeney on the No Fly Zone radio podcast over there in Ireland. And it was the first time I was able to hop onto his show and contribute hopefully a little something to them. But if you're listening here and you haven't checked them out, Rich Tinley and Biff, a.k.a. Ian, do a great job there on No Fly Zone Radio. So check them out. So, CJ,
yeah,
what do you think about our chances this week, the Jets playing at home, coming off the bye week, with the Redskins coming to town. And as I mentioned before, the Redskins are just, I mean, they are so hurt right now. It's not even funny.
Well, I can tell you one thing. I think that they're going to do, with the Redskins coming to town, despite the fact that, yes, the team does look a little bit more like a MASH unit than a football team, I think the Jets have a considerable chance of, you know, being able to come in and to do some damage against a Redskin team that thus far is probably not what everybody expected. So
I think they're playing better than you would have thought at the beginning of the season. CJ, it looks like we have a caller coming on, so I'm going to bring him on. And
yeah,
we don't have the magic of a studio where we could screen these people, so hopefully it's not a raving lunatic on the other line. Hello, caller. Welcome to CNC Football Factory.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Joe from Jetation Radio. How you guys doing?
Hey, Joe. How are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. I just got all my, sausage and peppers and burgers and everything ready for the game. Of course, my beer. Driving around, but doing good. My med one. I know you guys are Yankee fans, at least I believe so. So you might not.
Now, yeah, I'm not super excited. I'm not super excited about the Mets one way or the other, but, you know, at least one of the New York teams is doing pretty well.
Yeah, no, I understand. You're one of those, you know, those salty Yankees fans who doesn't want the Mets to win. It's okay. I forgive you guys.
I'm not really rooting against them. I'm just not rooting for them either. You know?
Yeah.
We made it to the playoffs. We got our asses handed to us by the Astros in the one-game playoffs, and that was it. But, you know, good for you guys. Hopefully you could give Chicago a run for their money, because pretty much the rest of the nation is down with Cubs Nation right now, I would say, anyone outside of Mets fans.
Yeah, they're definitely all the Cubs side, mainly because of that movie Back to the Future, and says the Cubs are going to win the World Series in 2015. But, you know, they have good hitting. We have some good pitching. We'll see what happens here. But I'm definitely ready for the Jets game tomorrow. Definitely really, really excited.
Nice.
All right, so what do you think is going to happen? I mean, obviously, this is a game the Jets should win, given the team they're playing, coming off a bye. But you know how this team has performed the last few years after a bye. It's not been well, Joe. What are your thoughts on how this game is going to go?
I think people are, you know, underrating the Redskins a little bit. Like I heard you guys say when I first called in that a lot of people expect this team at the beginning of the year to be, you know, a bottom five team, but they've been in some close games with the Falcons and some teams like that. So they're not as bad as people think they are. They have a stellar run defense. You know, they have a good running offense, even though the offense is, you know, 25th in the league, so they're not world beaters. But I think the Jets should be able to go in at home and take care of business. And, you know, you mentioned the Jets are bad off bye weeks, but this is no longer a Rex Ryan coach team. I know we're 1-5 off the bye weeks, but I think Todd Bowles will have these guys ready. I think we'll be able to take advantage of Sheldon Richardson coming back, even though I don't expect him to play, you know, 60, 70% of the snaps. I expect him more to play maybe 20 to 25 snaps to get him back into game mode. But, you know, they're missing Jordan Reed. I'm not sure if DeSean Jackson's playing. I don't know if you guys have heard anything, but I know he's questionable.
He's officially listed as questionable, but from what I'm hearing, it's going to be it's not likely that he's going to play. But, you know, you never know. It could change.
So you take away that element. He's a good receiver. He's not you know, top five. He's not Julio Jones type of guy, but he's still a good receiver. You're missing Jordan Reed, like I said. You're missing their starting center, and you're missing Trent Williams, who's one of the best left tackles in the league. And they're trotting out two guys at left tackle and center who are taking their first NFL snaps as starters. So when you have a guy like Sheldon Richardson coming back, you have a guy like Leonard Williams who, as a rookie in his first four games, is ranked top 10 at 3-4 defensive ends in both run stuff percentage and pass rushing efficiency. So I think this is a good game for the Jets. You know, they have Kirk Cousins, who is a turnover-prone quarterback. I think the Jets will win, you know, maybe 4-13, something like that, but I'm hoping the Jets come out and they shut up all the haters with all the 5 week talk. I hope we get past that this week.
Yeah, Joe. I mean, it's definitely a new regime. I think the key injuries really for the Washington Redskins are the two offensive linemen that they're going to have to – they're missing Trent Williams and Corey Lichtensteiger, which that's tough to replace, especially with the defensive line the Jets have. It's going to be tough for them to get anything going when they rely so much on the running game with Matt Jones, with Alfred Morris, and even Chris Thompson, who's actually someone to watch out for. If they get behind early, he'll be out there catching passes because Kirk Cousins will be running for his life. And as you mentioned, Jordan Reed out. He's had concussions. So they've got Derek Carrier in there, also someone that's kind of under the radar, been decent filling in for Jordan Reed over the past couple weeks. So another weapon to watch out for. So what are you going to be making up for the tailgate, Joe? It sounded like you had some different meats, some sausages. Or what's going on with all that? Making me hungry right now.
Yeah, I get out of work at 12 o'clock at night. I wake up at like 6 o'clock in the morning, drive there. I got my pork roll, I got my my sausage, peppers, and onions. I got I believe we're gonna have buffalo chicken dip. We got burgers, hot dogs. We got everything there. We're at J10, so definitely a good time. I cracked my first beer at like 8:15 in the morning, but you know it's kind of a given being a Jets fan. So definitely looking forward to it. It's gonna be a good game. I think it'll be, you know, a defensive battle. I don't expect the Jets to come out and you know, blow this team out. They're, like you guys said, they're kind of like a poor version of the Jets. They obviously don't have guys like, you know, Brandon Marshall and Revis, but they still have some good players. I think we're going to watch out for Ryan Kerrigan. I'm not sure if he's going to be lining up on the left or the right side, but either way, Brown, Giacomini, and Ferguson are not performing too well this season. They're performing all right, but you know, everybody's saying his offensive line is top 10, top 15, but while I do think they're the middle of the pack kind of offensive line, but if you watch all these games, you notice how quick Ryan Fitzpatrick gets the ball out of his hand. So I think the offensive line is performing better, but I don't think it's as good as everybody seems to think it is. But it'll definitely be a good game. I'm just really watching out for Ryan Kerrigan. I think he's the main player I'm going to focus on this week.
Well, I you know, I agree with you. I was making these points when we joined our good friends over in the UK earlier this week, No Fly Zone Radio. And what the point I was making, yes, the offensive line is playing better, but they're being helped out in the pass protection by Ryan Fitzpatrick getting rid of that ball quickly. Some of it is he has some weapons, But, you know, this is largely the same offensive line, outside of a couple additions here or there, that we had last year that looked so bad because Geno Smith held onto the ball so long. So I agree with you. I think it's a middle-of-the-pack kind of offensive line being helped out with a system that Chan Gailey's instituted, which is get rid of the ball quickly, and a quarterback that recognizes that he needs to get rid of the ball before he takes a sack. Sometimes that ends up in the other guy's hands, but really I think Ryan Fitzpatrick has kind of taken this offense, and that's what's helping the offensive line look better than it actually is.
Yeah, I think there's a couple of components to it. I think it's the fact that the Jets are now running a man-to-man scheme too, which when you look at Carpenter, he was running a zone scheme with the Seattle Seahawks. I don't know if you guys agree with my idea on this, but I feel that a man-to-man scheme is more for those big guys, you know, those James Carpenter, who's, what, around like 6'6", 320 or 310, whatever he is. He's a big guy. So I think the fact that he's running a man-to-man scheme, which is more, you know, me versus you, you're not getting past me, while his own scheme is, you know, run through this gap and block this guy while I'm blocking that guy. It's more for the agile kind of guy. So I think a man-to-man scheme has helped a guy like Carpenter into the team. I think he's helping out a guy in Mangold and a guy in Ferguson. I think Mangold's actually performing a little bit worse than he did last year. But then you have a guy in Willie Colon who, you know, I'm not the biggest fan of. He 14 penalties last year, and he had a lot more that were declined because of kicks or whatever it may be. But he's performing a little bit better, so it definitely helps.
Willie Colon is a walking penalty flag.
Yeah, well, I think he only has one penalty flag this year, unless I'm wrong. He might have two. So it's definitely a big upgrade from last year, from the way he played, because I wanted Willie Colon off this team and not to be re-signed. But then, you know, the fact that you mentioned that Geno Smith was second in the NFL to Russell Wilson and how long he held the ball, and now they're getting rid of the ball, I believe, like top five quickest in the NFL. So it definitely helps that we're getting rid of the ball a second and a half quicker, when it only takes, you know, some guys in this league two, three seconds to get into the backfield. It definitely helps. So Ryan Fitzpatrick, while he hasn't been, you know, he hasn't been Tom Brady or Aaron Rodgers, he's, you know, set touchdowns and six interceptions, not the best stats. But you look past that, you look how this team is bonding. You can tell this year that the team is much more closer than it was the last couple of years. They're all playing for each other. They're all very disciplined. I love the fact that Todd Bowles, you can't tell the difference with him after, you know, the pre- and post-game conferences. If he either won the game, you can't tell. If it's a preseason game, you probably couldn't tell if he won the Super Bowl. You know, the only time I hear the guy get excited is when they talk about Gladys Knight, you know, the singer that he loves. So I'm loving where the team is going. We should probably be 4-0 right now. That Eagles game was a mess. The fact that they only had 232 yards of offense and we still found a way to lose that game. You know, the offense wasn't good at all. Definitely missed Chris Ivory. Definitely missed Decker. And then, you know, you had a couple big special teams plays, which I'm hoping to God Bobby April worked on over the bye week. You know, we should be 4-0, and I'm looking to be, you know, 4-1 going into New England. And hopefully we go up to Foxborough and we just stomp on Tom Brady's throat. You know, nothing else would make me happier in this entire world.
Absolutely.
Oh, absolutely.
BJ.
One of the biggest things that you want to do is you want to make sure that, especially when you're coming out and attacking a team like the Redskins, you know, the team's record doesn't really reflect how badly they have played, to be honest with you. I mean, the Redskins have had some bad breaks come their ways and so on, and they've lost a couple of close games, gave away a couple of leads that for all intents and purposes, I mean, you know, the Redskins did very well, you know, being a 2-3 right now, could very well be 3-2, or could even possibly be 4-1. So, you know, the Jets have to watch out for that. The Jets have to be aware, you know, of the fact that defensively, Washington is going to get to the quarterback. They're going to put pressure, so it's definitely going to be up to the offensive line to make sure that Ryan Fitzpatrick, you know, is able to go through his progressions and get rid of that ball. Like you said, you know, Ryan Fitzpatrick is very, very good about getting rid of the ball quickly. The Jets overall defensively, you can't really say much about them defensively other than the fact that this team is just an absolute juggernaut on defense. So Kirk Cousins is going to have his work cut out for him, moving the ball down the field. I think that if the Jets defensively can continue doing what has been successful for them, which is essentially shutting down the opposing team's offense, you know, winning those ugly battles in the trenches, which nobody likes to talk about. There's no reason why the Jets cannot come out and get a victory at home against these Redskins.
Yeah, I think the main point for the defense is when you watch Kirk Cousins, and I watched a couple of his games, I would be lying if I said I watched all five because I haven't. I'm not a Redskins fan. I don't care as much.
You don't want to inflict that kind of torture on yourself, Joe, having to watch five games of Kirk Cousins? I would rather peel my eyeballs off than have to watch all five games.
I've been a Jets fan for a decent amount of time. You know, I'm young, I'm 22, so I haven't seen all the Jets and terrible quarterbacks, but I've had enough dosage of bad quarterbacks as Sanchez and Kellen Clements and Brunell and Gerard and whoever it may be. I'm done watching bad quarterbacks, so I get my dosage from, you know, the bad plays that Ryan Fitzpatrick makes. So I don't need to watch Kirk Cousins, but
You disappoint me so much that you never had to be subjected to Ken O'Brien and Browning Nagel and Boomer Esiason and Neil O'Donnell.
Come on,
man, now.
What are you talking about? Those were actually okay. There were some really bad ones.
I apologize that my mom and my dad decided not to have, you know, relations earlier than they did. I apologize, so I couldn't be tortured for a couple
years. How dare you before 22 years ago, Joe? How dare you? You have no control over that whatsoever.
I think a big factor for the defense is watching Kirk Cousins in the game that I have watched him in. The guy makes absolutely terrible decisions when he's pressured, and I know you guys will probably talk about it. I'll probably talk about it in a couple minutes, but getting Sheldon Richardson back, having the guys, like I said, Leonard Williams, Snacks, Muhammad Wilkerson, there's going to be pressure, especially when you look at two guys who are starting their first NFL game as a starter. You know, I think this team will be able to get pressure. I think Kirk Cousins is going to have that 2-3 interception game. Deshaun Jackson is out. Jordan Reed is out. The only thing I'm really worried about this offense is the running game. It's our running game. Our run defense hasn't been as strong as it was in the years past, but I think that will, you know, fix itself up with Sheldon Richardson coming back. But it's not even the running game. I'm really worried about the running back. It's actually more of the Matt Jones, you know, running those swing routes or, you know, those wheel routes that we saw DeMario Davis struggle with basically his entire career as a New York Jet. So that's really the only thing I'm worried about with this Redskins team. You know, I'm not trying to underplay them, but take away those running backs in the passing game, and I think this Jets defense can have that game where maybe they, you know, only let up those 7 to 10 points against this Redskins offense, which is ranked, I believe, 25th in the NFL right now.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
So,
very good point of view.
The other thing I wanted to talk about a little bit too is defensively, the Redskins are missing D'Angelo Hall as well, which is a hit, and they're already kind of weak secondary. So I'd expect to see big things actually offensively from Decker and Marshall be the main beneficiaries of kind of a pretty bad secondary. Their front's okay. Their defensive front's all right. They defend the run well, and at times they get to the quarterback, get some pressure. But where they really get smoked is, you know, in their secondary. And they've really held it together, I think, better than anyone would have thought. I could have easily said the Redskins would be 0-5 and not blinked an eye at the beginning of the season coming into this game. And they've done well to kind of maintain what they have.
Yeah, they've had some close games. Like, you know, the overtime game against the Falcons who – 4-0 at that point, I believe, because it was last week. So I think the Falcons are slightly overrated. I don't think they're going to be, you know, one of those teams who finishes, 12-4 or anything like that. I think it's going to sort of catch up with them a little bit. But the Redskins have been decent, but against this Jets team, I don't think they really are going to be able to move the ball because, like you guys mentioned before, this Jets defense right now is what it, not including the stats from last week because obviously we had a bye week, so I don't want to factor that in. But you know, number one in turnovers in the league, number two in the pass game. You know, they're up top in mostly every defensive category. So getting Sheldon Richardson coming back, you know, and on top of that having a bye week, which they're rested. You had a lot of injuries on this team. You had, you know, Chris Ivory and Willie Colon was hurt and Cromartie was banged up at times and Leonard Williams and Harrison, you know, I could go on. Owusu was hurt. So I think getting those guys back too, a guy like Jamari Lattimore, who I didn't say, will help the special teams a lot, which has really, honestly, along with maybe tight end, not middle linebacker, outside linebacker, because Quinton Coples has been a complete dud this whole entire season so far. I think that special teams is one of the biggest concerns of this team, but getting some of those guys back, the Darren Walls and the Lattimore kind of guys, I think that's going to help out. So unless they don't make a big play on special teams, and the Jets pin them back in their own territory a lot, I really think that this Jets team should win this game and, you know, throw all that stuff out, all the Rex Ryan error about being, you know, 1-5 after the bye and things like that. They should come out and they should be strong against this team. They can't be looking to the Patriots game, which obviously is going to be a huge game going to Foxborough, undefeated Patriots team. I really doubt they're going to lose to the Colts this week. But, you know, don't look past this game. Let's focus on the Redskins. Let's get this win. You know, put ourselves in good position at 4-1, because I don't know about you guys, but this race for the wild card, and, you know, I don't want to say that we're not going to win the division, but I don't think so. Obviously, I would love to beat the Patriots, but it's probably not going to happen, especially look at their schedule coming up. I really don't see who's going to stop Tom Brady. But you have the Chargers, who are not doing too well. You have the Steelers, who are 3-2, but I think they might be the second wild card team. You have Rex Ryan and the Bills, who you're already starting to see the problems with Sammy Watkins coming out saying he's not getting enough targets. He's already rushing LeSean McCoy back, just like he did last year with Decker. So I don't see a lot of competition in this AFC for the wild card spot. So I think coming out, you know, stomping on the Redskins' throat, being 4-1, and hopefully finishing the season out somewhere where I predict around 10-6, 11-5. I think they honestly could go 11-5 this season if they keep playing the way they do. Obviously, it's only 4 games, but I don't think there's a ton of competition. So just keep the pedal to the metal and make the damn playoffs this year so I can watch another one of my teams be in the playoffs, hopefully.
Real quick around the Jets injury front, they're relatively healthier. There's still a few guys to monitor. Willie Colon's still questionable. David Harris is listed as questionable. I can't see him not playing. Jaquan Jarrett is doubtful. Chris Owusu is doubtful. Bilal Powell questionable, and I don't know if he's going to make it. Sounded this week like he's really not looking all that promising for Sunday. So look for Zach Stacy to be backing up Ivory. And Marcus Williams also doubtful, although we're so strong in that secondary. He's a good player, but it's fairly irrelevant. We've got plenty of people that can help him out. So really looking okay, injury-wise, which is good.
Yeah, no,
yeah, of course. I mean, coming off the bye week, you know, I think that, you know, I just want to go back to this thing. I know we've beaten it like a dead horse, but until the Jets are able to
keep
come
beating
out
it.
And
that's my advice to you, just keep beating it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, essentially, you have to just come out. So you have to just come out, and you have to take care of business against the Redskins,
humor,
especially after a bye week. You know, until we beat a team off of the bye week, it does not matter who it is this week. It just happens to be the Washington Redskins. It could be anybody, okay? Until this team could come off the bye week, have a strong showing, and walk away with a victory, there are always going to be the mumblings in the dark about this team doesn't play good, or this team doesn't play well off the bye. This team doesn't play well off the bye.
I think most people recognize it's a Rex Ryan issue. Most people recognize that it's a Rex Ryan thing. I think anyone that's generally educated understands that. It's Rex Ryan's record. I mean, yes, it was the Jets' record too, but in part it was Rex Ryan, and one of the faults that we had with him was not being kind of prepared. One, they went on road trips, and coming off the bye. So I think
right.
Most people recognize that's a Rex Ryan kind of problem, and I don't think
well,
Todd Bowles
sure
wants this team.
But until we
team,
put
you know,
the W off. Up there, there are people that are still going to continue to flap their gums about this team does not play well off of the bye, and this is the perfect opportunity for the Jets to tell everyone, shut up. There's a new regime in town here. We're going to come out. We're going to take care of business, and we're going to keep doing what we've done, what's gotten us successful to this point. So, essentially, that's where we're going on that.
All right. Well, hey, Joe, thank you for joining us. We've only got a few minutes left, and I know definitely got some things
really,
to do,
really
man.
Quick, I'm sorry to interrupt, but I just want to hear your guys' thoughts on Sheldon Richardson before I get off, you know. It's something I talked about with Glenn. Vinny was gone this week, but before I jump off, I just wanted to ask you guys, you know, what do you think about Sheldon Richardson coming back? You know, what do you think it means to the team, and how much do you see him getting played, and how do you see the, Todd Bowles even fitting, Leonard Williams, Sheldon Richardson, Snacks and Wilkerson on the field at the same time? Do you think it's plausible that they can do that?
So I think it's possible. We'll see Richardson and Williams and Mo and Snacks all out there at one time. But I think mostly what you're going to see is a rotation where we saw a bit more of Leger Dusable. You're going to see more of Sheldon Richardson rotating in. Because, the one thing is you could stay in shape all you want, but be getting into game shape and not really having taken part for a month in any kind of football activity, you've got to get back into the swing of things. I'd expect them to kind of ease them in. I think what it means for this team is being a little better against the run than we've been. I know we're ranked eighth against the run now, but watching a couple of these games and some of the runs that got busted on us, it was a little disconcerting. I think Sheldon Richardson helps stabilize that, and we'll get even better at getting after the quarterback because he's a monster.
Right, I agree. I think that you'll probably see Sheldon Richardson rotated in and out on different package schemes. Todd Bowles has a plan as to how exactly he's going to use Sheldon Richardson. He doesn't want to rush him back too fast. And again, I also agree with what Carlos said, just because of the fact that you're working out and you're practicing and so on and so forth doesn't mean the game speed is there. So I think you're going to see a little bit smaller dosage of Sheldon Richardson than we're used to. But don't be surprised if Todd Bowles has got some tricks up his sleeve. I think it's going to be awesome to have, our entire defensive front at 100% out there. And I tell you something, this defensive front is good now, just not even being at 100%. Just imagine how much better it's going to be at 100%.
Yeah, people are saying this defense, I can argue that this defense is either, number one or number two to Denver. But adding a player in Sheldon Richardson, who is arguably, he's definitely top three. You can argue if he's above a guy like Wilkerson or not. But adding him to this defense, and, I see Todd Bowles running some, 4-3s or 5-2s or 5-3s, whatever it may be. I don't think it's necessarily this game because, like you guys said, I don't know if you guys ever played football before, but even me playing high school football, coming back to that first practice with pads and getting hit, you feel like you got hit by a train the next day. And like you said, there's no way to be in the gym and prepare for that. So I expect to see Sheldon Richardson, 20 to maybe 30 snaps, depending on what's happening. But I think the week you're really going to see him completely unleash is against the Patriots next week. But it's definitely going to be interesting to see how they use him because, like you said, this team – has depth. You talk about the top four guys, Dusable has been a beast this year. So I think he's going to find a way, not necessarily every snap, but to get all of these guys on the field at the same time, because like a lot of people are saying, if you have all the four of those guys on the field at the same time, where the hell are you running it and where the hell are you passing it? This defense has potential to be the best defense in the NFL. And I think they're making their way towards that as soon as they get a little bit more chemistry together, because let's not act like this team is going to be as good as it will be, the final weeks of the year, because it's still a new defensive coach, new head coach, new players. So I'm expecting this defense, the arrow to be trending upwards.
Right,
all
absolutely.
Right.
All right.
Thanks so
Carlos,
much, Joe,
you got
for
like
joining
2 minutes
us.
Left. Pound out
we
that
do.
Fantasy football, brother.
Okay, you got it. So just a couple of, quick tips if you're doing any kind of daily fantasy or commissioner-style fantasy. Let's start with the team defenses. Obviously, if you have the Jets, start them. It's a great matchup. Another one, if you're streaming, that I really like, and I actually picked up myself, is Minnesota Vikings coming off a bye. Chiefs are coming into town. No Jamal Charles. They could get after the quarterback. Chiefs give up a ton of sacks, so I'd go in that direction. If you're looking for a tight end in, in Bailey, look for Greg Olsen against the Seahawks. It's going to be a pretty good matchup for them. They're going to be throwing a ton. They're susceptible over the middle. I'm going to run out of time here, so let me name one running back that I like better than most people, Lamar Miller. Really like him. He's going to get more touches with Dan Campbell. And a quarterback, start Andy Dalton. I know they're on the road against Buffalo, but they're going to have to win the game by throwing the ball a ton, and Andy's been a top-five quarterback. One wide receiver I really like is actually Brandon Marshall. I like his matchup. No D'Angelo Hall. It's going to be tough sledding on the run game. Brandon Marshall's been the most consistent wide receiver outside of Julio Jones this year. Go start him. And I'm done, CJ.
All righty, cool beans. So this has been, again, another wonderful episode of CNC Football Factory. I want to thank Joe Blewett from Jet Nation Radio coming on. Thank you, as always, Carlos, the Cuban Chrome, Sardinus, you are the man. And now, Fat Boy Slim, taking us home. We'll see you guys next week.
The Funk Soul Brother, check it out now. Right about now.